Any takers for Children's Church today? Children's Church? All right, we got any? One there? One here? Two here? All right, baby, Children's Church it is. All right. Outstanding. Is it hot enough for you out there yet? Is it getting that way? I'm telling you, it's on. I don't covet this or be upset, but we're heading to Missouri this afternoon on vacation, and it'll take us, it's a two-day drive. You spread it out, and we're going to a cousin of mine. He's got a lake house on a private lake in Missouri, and the highs this coming week there on the lake are going to be in the mid-70s, and the lows are going to be in the 60s. So, it's a Lee Summit area, southeast of Kansas City. The lake is called Lake Lackawanna. Don't ask me to spell it. Lake Lackawanna. But it's promises to be a good time. But I'll be thinking about you this week as you're suffering in the heat. And I'm wearing my jacket. Amen? All right. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to finish up what we started last week in preparation for the Lord's Supper. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin reading here in verse 19 and take it through verse 23 again this morning. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19 through verse 23. Galatians 5, 19. We found it? Close? I still hear a few pages turning. We'll give you a few more seconds. You really want to see this in the Word of God for yourself. And then we will be in the Gospel of Mark for our communion portion today. But we begin here with Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. The Word of God reads, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Paul's letter to the church at Galatia as he penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we have it 2,000 plus years from then to correct us, to hold us accountable, to put us back on the straight and narrow. And Lord, as we think about this passage today, as we want to embrace the truth of this passage, I pray we see the connection of this all to communion, the Lord's Supper, in which we're going to partake in as a body of believers. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that don't know you. Perhaps they have a head knowledge about you. Perhaps they know some things about you, Lord, but they've never received you as their personal Savior and Lord. I pray that this would be the hour, the moment, the time that they might allow the gospel to penetrate their heart. They might be saved today. Thank you, Lord, that you still save. Thank you that we can still tell the good story, the good news. And Lord, we just seek to bring glory and honor to you as we go through this service. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. We talked last week about how weeds grow from what? How they grow from a sinful nature. We said last week that each of us has two natures, right? Two natures inside of us. And these two natures are continually struggling within us. We made the comment, we said if we could compare our two natures to animals, we said that our sinful nature would be like a pig or a vulture. Remember that? A pig loves filth. A pig will eat almost anything. And a vulture feeds on nothing but rotten flesh. By contrast, we said your new nature is like a lamb or a dove. And these animals do not touch rotten food. They don't eat just anything. They're drawn toward clean food. So we said the application was this. We said the application is easy to say, yet difficult to do. Don't forget the application. We want to starve the sinful flesh, and at the same time, we want to do what? We want to feed the Spirit within us. Now, that's kind of where we were heading last week, right? We took that list of 15 different weeds of the flesh, which is not an exhaustive list, but we took that list nonetheless. We said it was only a representative list, but we took that list nonetheless and we broke it into four different categories. Remember that? Real uncomfortable last week when we talked about those sexual sins, right? Everybody's kind of holding their breath, turning blue. Everybody getting pink around the gills. Sexual sin, sexual activity outside of marriage, we said is wrong. We just kept on chasing that rabbit and fleshing that out and getting everything out of that passage we could. Then we said religious sins, trusting in any person or thing other than God, is idolatry. And then we talked about social sins. Self-centered living destroys what? It destroys relationships. And then we said sins of excess. We got to the end of the 15. Sins of excess, unrestrained appetites lead to addiction. And remember, we were trying to make things clear for you. Trying to make things totally crystal clear for you. We talked about last week about the difference between practicing versus committing these sins. Because you and I, many of us in here, have committed this list of 15. We're guilty of that. But we talked about the difference of practicing versus committing these sins. In that many of us have indeed committed these things listed here or other sins that are represented by the list, but praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, we were convicted by the Holy Spirit within us, or we were held accountable by our saved conscience, or we were held accountable by a saved loved one. Somebody, something got up inside of us, came face to face with us, and we confessed and repented from the sin. In fact, some may very well be here this morning, right here this morning, and you're still dealing, you're still in process of working through the sin issues. May I say, you couldn't have come to a better place to work through the sin issues. The contrast and comparison to that is, on the other hand, someone who practices these sins without a convicted heart. They practice the sin without a convicted heart of knowing that what they're doing is not who they were created to be. When they do that, for those that practice these sins and others like these, they give evidence. They give it. They give the evidence of the fact that they are lost. That they're lost. Now, we transition on to what we're talking about this morning. That was last week. It kind of ties in with today. If you have ever worked a garden, a flower garden, a vegetable garden, then you know if you want to grow good flowers, if you want to grow good vegetables, you got to do what? Well, Pastor, you got to plant them. You got to plant them, and then what do you got to do? You got to make sure they get enough moisture. You got to water them. And then what else you got to do? You got to cultivate them. However, vegetable or flower garden, you don't got to do anything to get weeds, do you? No. No, the weeds just seem to appear out of nowhere. Do you know, do you remember as we went through, it's been years ago, we went through the study of Genesis, do you remember, do you know that there were no weeds in the Garden of Eden? Wouldn't that have been amazing? No weeds in the Garden of Eden. However, part of God's pronouncement, part of the consequences against sin, was that thorns and thistles, weeds if you will, would infest the ground. Weeds represent what? Represent our sinful natures. Friend, when we think about the death of our wonderful Lord and Savior, when we think about His blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that covers that sin. That comes out of these sinful natures. Oh my, it ought to drive us to what? It ought to drive us to abide in Jesus. See, weeds crowd out the good plants. Weeds rob the soil of moisture, reeds rob the soil of nutrients. And so when you pull a weed, we talked about this a little bit last week. When you pull a weed, you had better make sure you get what? You better get the roots. If you don't get the roots, guess what? The weed's coming back. You guys remember Hurricane Ike, don't you? Remember that? We were living in Pearland at the time when Hurricane Ike came through. We thought it would be novel to shelter in place. Never again will we shelter in place when a weak Cat 2 hurricane or Cat 1 or whatever it was. I just remember the back of the bedroom wall where the headboard was, the back of that wall, brick. It was all brick. The back of that wall just vibrated, just pulsated. You thought the wall was coming down any moment. After that, it is amazing how the weeds showed up in one part of my yard. They'd probably been carried all the way from Galveston. Who knows? And so I went by my local True Value Center, not Lowe's. I can't remember why I didn't go to Lowe's, but I went to True Value. And my neighbor had one of these weed poppers. And I saw them work in their yard with this weed popper. And I said, man, I got to have me one of those. That looks pretty good. I got to True Value and I found it and I saw the price tag and I said, do I really want that? Do I really want that weed popper? I think it was almost $30. This has been 10 years ago, man. I still got the weed popper. Don't get me wrong. I thought, well, that Dallas grass is something else. We call it Dallas. You call it crab grass. We call it Dallas grass. What you know what the kind of grass I'm talking about. It's just ugly, weed-looking grass. Well, I bought this weed popper. And I'm telling you, friends, you can go to the Dallas grass. You can go to the crab grass. You can go to the dandelion or whatever you got. And this thing's got prongs on it. Long stainless steel sharpened prongs. And you put it in there at an angle, and then it's got a foot pedal on it. You hold it up like this. It goes in the root ball, and it's got a foot pedal on it. And then this is where the fun comes in. Boom! You pop that sucker out. And if you're not careful, you'll wear the weed and the dirt and the mud. I've learned over the years to just be very gentle. Come in this side and then come over here. And then maybe the third direction you come at it, you can kind of ease it on out. But you got to get all of the weed, all of the root, you got to get it all out. That attitude, the attitude of getting those weeds out by the root is the same attitude we should have toward the weeds of our sinful nature. See, we have to do more than just concentrate on the sins. We need to give some attention on the root of the problem, which is our sinful nature. So what most of us do or have done, hopefully we'll get away from this, but we treat our sin like a weed eater whacking away. Oh, we take the visible stuff down. We take the visible weed down, but we never get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is a heart problem, not a behavior problem. That's where the root lies. See, Jesus taught that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Mark's gospel reads in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 20, it says, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murderers, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Well, in the same way weeds grow from a sinful nature, in the same way that weeds grow from a sinful nature, good fruit is seen in a spirit-filled life. Good fruit is seen in a spirit-filled life. There is a better way to live than running around with the weed eater against sin. There's a better way to live, and that way is by the fruit of the Spirit. The first thing to note is that the Bible says here in our passage, the fruit of the Spirit is. Notice the Bible does not say the fruits of the Spirit are. Don't miss that distinction, friend. There is one fruit, but it has nine flavors. One fruit, nine flavors. The fruit of the Spirit is like a roll of lifesavers. There's one roll, but different flavors. Now, why is the truth about a singular fruit but different flavors so important to us? Well, it's simple. Some people confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, how in the world do they do that? They do it this way. There are over a dozen different gifts of the Spirit, which are supernatural abilities for ministry that God gives you at the time of your salvation, right? I mean, you get it then. There are a variety of gifts, and no Christian, I mean, you may think you have them all, but God bless you, you do not have them all. There are a variety of gifts, and no Christian has all of them. You may have one or two, you may have three or four, but you don't have all. So you can be able to say, you are able to say, I have the gift of service, but Pastor, I just don't have the gift of mercy. And I just have to take your word for it, okay? But when we transition and begin to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you cannot say, well, Pastor, I've got the fruit of joy, but I just don't have the fruit of patience. Well, friend, if you got one fruit, you got them all. You got them all. You got all the flavors if you got the one. Are you hearing me today? See, when the Holy Spirit is controlling your life, you will display all nine of these virtues. Now, you may be a little fat on one and a little thin on the other, but you're going to get all of them covered. Now, the list of the weeds of the flesh broke down into four categories. Then the nine fruit fall into three groups. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We're going to transition this into communion, into the Lord's Supper. But I want to just touch briefly on these. We may come back later this summer and take each one of these flavor of the fruit of the Spirit and deal with that individually. But today, we look at them in groups of three. Number one, I relate to God through the first group, love, joy, and peace. I relate to God through love, joy, and peace. God demonstrates an unconditional love to us that sets us free to love others. Now, I cannot love unlovely people in my own strength. I cannot do it. I've tried. It does not work. But God loves everyone, and guess what? He can love anyone through me. If you've got the Holy Spirit, He can love anyone through you. Love. Agape. Agape love. Did He say agape? No, He said agape. Right? We think about joy. We've noticed that the president, if you keep up with the president, he's been, I don't keep up with the tweets, but I do keep up with his movements. And he's been in Europe this past week celebrating the invasion, right? D-Day. Operation Overlord, and we're thankful for our World War II veterans. We're thankful for all of our veterans, but praise God for those men that were on Omaha Beach and all of those beaches during that operation. Amazing, amen. We give the Lord a hand for them today, amen, our World War II veterans, right? We've got one in our church. He's not here today, but we have his daughter with us, so Brother Bill Neal, tell him we thank him for his service today. But as the president was going around Europe, he was hanging out in England and Britain there for a time, and he was with Queen Elizabeth. And they tell me that wherever Queen Elizabeth resides, whatever castle or place she's in at the time, they fly her specific Queen Elizabeth flag. Her flag is flying, right? Well, joy is like the banner. Joy is like the banner that shows Jesus is living in your very heart. Joy. Amen? We think about peace. My relationship with Jesus gives me peace, right? My relationship with Jesus gives me peace. With God, the peace of God, and a peace that passes all understanding. And that's the great prayer we pray for Marjorie here today. Marjorie's here today. Such a blessing to see her and her family. And Harold. Harold's here today with us. Just going through the loss of Harold's wife, Marjorie's mother. And here they are here today. That's the prayer we pray for them. that in the midst of the trial of grief, that in the loss of a loved one, a dear Christian mother and wife, that God would fill that void with peace, right? Fill it with peace. I relate to God through love, joy, and peace. Secondly, this morning, I relate to others through patience, kindness, and gentleness. Or goodness, I'm sorry. I relate to others through patience, kindness, and goodness. See, my flesh pushes me. My flesh pushes me towards impatience. That's where I always want to go on my own. I always want to go to impatience, and I always want to go to anxiety. I always want to go to being just a mean little dude that worries all the time. Do you get that? Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, right? But Jesus in me gives me patience to trust God's timing. It's His timing, right? I can act kindly toward others in my human nature, but when Jesus is controlling my life, I will be kind to every person I encounter, even if they don't show me any kindness at all. And when we think about goodness, there is no goodness in me. There's not any in me. No goodness in me. But God is good all the time. All the time. And Jesus wants to show that goodness. He wants to show that through me. You say, Pastor, you may not be good, but is there any good in me? Friend, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Right? Friend, I'm telling you, we all need the Holy Spirit in us via salvation. Amen? I relate to God through love, joy, and peace. I relate to others through patience, kindness, and goodness. And finally this morning, I relate to myself through faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're here this morning and you've done any kind of living, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, if you're not a little child today, you've seen some water go under the bridge in your life, then you know there are three people that you have trouble with the most. Me, myself, and I. Right? And so when we think about our struggles and these flavors of the fruit of the Spirit, we have to realize that faithfulness and gentleness and self-control is what Jesus, listen to me, it is what Jesus will produce in and through me when I allow His personality to overpower my personality. His personality's got to win out, friend. He's got to have the lead, right? You got to let Him do it through you. These nine virtues are not the fruit of the Christian. They are the fruit of the Spirit. These are descriptions, really. They are descriptions of the personality, of the attitude of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus in the Gospels was, and Jesus at the right hand of the Father still is, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We're coming full circle now. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, He is the vine. He is the vine, and we are just the branches. Our job, church, is simply to abide in Him via His Word, via a prayer life, via the fellowshipping of the saints, via attempting to bring glory and honor to His name. You want to stay firmly attached to Jesus' life And he will produce. He will produce these virtues in us. So as I conclude this morning, I want you to consider the roots. Jesus wants some weed popping going on, right? He wants us to die to self because our selfish, sinful nature is the problem of why we sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I want you to think this through with me today. Many Christians are like a man who comes home and he finds his house flooded, not because of the rains, not because of poor elevation of his lot, but he comes home and finds his house flooded because he forgot to turn off the bathtub faucet. Frantically, he grabs a mop and he begins sweeping out the water, but the bathtub faucet is still running wide open. After a few frenzied swipes, he sees he's making no headway against the water, so he gets a bigger mop. Determined to live in a victoriously dry house, he enrolls in a seminar on effective mopping techniques, and once again, he wades into the battle. But still, the water pours out faster than he can mop it up. As the situation worsens, he rededicates himself to better mopping. He vows he will never again leave the faucet on, and once more, he takes up the mop. Weary and waterlogged, he finally concludes that God never intended him to live in a dry house. So he buys a pair of rain boots, gets a waterbed secondhand, and settles down to live in the rest of his life in a flooded house. Now, I'm not against mopping, but if the faucet is still running, then the mopping's a waste of time, isn't it? See, the solution is ridiculously simple. Stop the flow of water at the source. Turn off the faucet. Turn it off. The water on the floor, that's our daily sins. The open faucet is the sin nature, the source of sin. And the sin nature can produce sins faster than we can mop them up. See, we've been mopping sins when we should have been crucifying self. You think about that when we remember his death today. You think about that. Crucifying self. This is where it ends up. A great many believers have thrown in the towel. Rather, they've thrown in the mop. And they've settled down to live the best they can in a flooded house. But God has made abiding. God has made abiding in him possible. How did he do that? Jesus, through his death and through his shed blood, has made possible, has provided for us all a life of daily victory. Of daily victory, if we will simply abide in him. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we begin to transition into a time of receiving the elements. The altars will be open. As Brother Jeremiah comes to lead us in a time of invitation, the altars will be open. I'll be down front. If you need to discuss or talk, I'm here for you. If you need to receive Christ, I'm here for you. If you need to come and pray, get your sin account caught up, altars are open for that. If you need to come and pray for someone else, you come and pray for someone else. Whatever the Lord would lead you to do. Perhaps you find yourself off of the altar and you want to get back on it. The altar's open for you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can be about your work and be about your ministry, Lord, as we try to minister through your word and minister to your church. Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide us via your Holy Spirit at this time. May we be submissive and surrendered. Lord, not wanting to fight you or fight against you, but wanting to listen to you and allow you to move through us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be prepared and right to receive the elements in just a moment. Lord, we thank you that we can come together and experience communion, the Lord's Supper. And Lord, you ask us to do this, not to remember your birth, but to remember your death. And we are blessed. It is a privilege. It's an honor to get to do it. As we wait on the day that we do it with you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's cross and the shed blood that covers our sin today. Be with those, Lord, that need to make decisions. May you tenderly lead and guide them, convicting them, drawing them to your side. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. I invite you to stand all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah leads us in a time of invitation. You come. The altars are open. I'm down front. You come today.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more should he give? Oh, how he loves you.
And begin to prepare the table.
Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
this time you may be seated. We're now in our Lord's Supper portion, and may I remind you that we do practice open communion here. You do not have to be a member of the church to receive communion, and go with this through us as the Holy Spirit leads us. If you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we invite you to participate in open communion with us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Remember, this is communion. It's not catching up on anything else. It's focus on Jesus, His sacrifice, His death, the blood that covers your sin, that helps you with that sin nature thing you got going on, so that you can what? So that you can abide in Christ. This is so important for the church. So important for each individual Christian here to contemplate and think about the great gift that's been bestowed upon them through salvation. Don't let a wandering mind, don't let the demonic or the devil rob you of the joy of truly experiencing the Lord's Supper and communion today. You stay focused on Jesus. Amen. You guys hand out the bread. Thank you. Care. Amen. Has everyone received an element that so desires to have one? Is there anyone that needs an element? think we got everybody covered that wants one. Ron is next door. Okay. We're going to wait on Ron. Is that right? Karen, would you continue to play just a little while longer? Thank you, dear. I will make some comments. You've received your element. I will make some comments. Then we will have a word of prayer and thank him for the element. And then we will partake and receive the element together. Can you imagine at that supper, that Passover Seder, that thing took a curve, didn't it? Amen. That thing went off in a different angle than what it normally went. And as they're there, Jesus taking that bread, verse 22, Mark chapter 14, while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." His body for ours. His body for ours. A debt we couldn't pay. He paid it. He didn't know it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we praise him today. I think about this bread, and I think about how unworthy I am to receive it. My works are like filthy rags.
Amen.
I cannot earn my way.
That's right.
I cannot work my way. It is by His grace, His favor, His mercy, His forgiveness.
Amen.
His perfect life on Calvary's cross. And he looks down upon us today. He says, "I loved you then. I love you now."
Amen.
"I would do it all over for you." We thank him for his obedience, don't we?
Amen.
We praise him. Let's pray to him, and then we will receive the element. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your obedience. We thank you for your perfect life, represented by your body hanging on that cross. Thank you, Lord, that you did it for us. We remember today your death. We remember the sacrifice. We remember the pain, the scourging, the mocking, the spitting, the punching, the slapping. We remember it all. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray, and God's people said,
"Amen."
May we partake together. Could you? Brother Jeremiah, if you'll begin to make your way down as you will lead us in our closing hymn today, brother. I've got one. 344, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, will be our closing hymn today. So make preparations for that. Miss Karen, 344, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Yes. Outstanding. All right. We good? We're covered, everybody? Amen. All right. Everybody's got an element that so desires to have one. Anybody without? Looks like everybody's got. All right. Outstanding. The Word of God continues on here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. We'll read the passage. I'll make some comments. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will receive the element. When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." That last statement begs, it begs for seriousness, and it begs for reverence, and it begs for just a desire to bring glory and honor to His name.
Amen.
What He's instituted in that Last Supper with His apostles, with these disciples, He's not doing it again until we're all together one day.
Amen.
The marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yes.
And I'm just always, I mean, this is the tough lump in the throat part for me. When I think about all of those loved ones that have gone on, all of those children that have gone on to be with the Lord, all of those aborted babies that will be there. I start thinking about the blind people that have their perfect sight and the slow of mind who are now as sharp as a tack. Think about all the handicapped folks and all the folks that have suffered, that have known Jesus Christ through the ages. And how we'll be there with them. At a long table or many tables, I don't know. A round table, I don't care. Just the fact that I get to be there.
Amen.
The glory, the voice, the words that will come from that, the words that will be spoken there, the love that will be shared, the fellowship, what a powerful moment. But this is a preview of that. This is a snapshot. What we have to look forward to. We do this in heaven with Jesus one day. This blood that's represented by this cup, the ultimate reality of that will have taken place. The sin nature that we've talked about and dealt with these last 2 weeks, no more. Perfect, glorified bodies.
Amen.
It's amazing what's coming. And I think He called me. I think about this all. He called me. He reached down and touched me for salvation. He convicted my heart. He offered His grace, His forgiveness, His mercy. Best decision I ever made.
Amen.
Receive Jesus. It's my personal Lord and Savior. Transition from religion to relationship. What a beautiful thing, man. This blood is represented by the cup. So powerful. So potent. Covers us all. And when God the Father looks down upon His saved, He doesn't see the blemishes of my sin. He sees the covering of His Son. And it's like perfect love God bestows on each of us that are saved. What a blessed thing. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray and then we'll receive it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You again. And Jesus the Son, we're so blessed and thankful for Your shed blood on Calvary's cross. The blood that covers our sin. The blood that makes a new covenant. The blood that makes a way for us to the Father. We're thankful for it. We remember it today. And Lord, we rejoice. And Lord, as we think about the death and the bread and the cup, may we be motivated, may we be surrendered, and be submissive, to seek your face, to abide in your life, so that the fruit of the Spirit may burst forth through us this coming week, this coming month, this summer. Lord, we just rest in this moment. We rejoice in this moment. And we just praise you in this moment. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
Shall we receive? This time, the deacons will make their way back to the back of the sanctuary. They will have their open Bibles out. They'll be receiving a benevolence offering as folks have need in the congregation. The monies that are received along with budgeted money, the money that is received here and during the Lord's Supper and budgeted money are used to help those in the congregation and sometimes outside the congregation that are struggling financially. So thank you for your faithfulness to give as a congregation to that offering and to sow into that ministry. Don't forget the youth fundraiser next door. Spaghetti's on the menu, salad, and all kinds of carbohydrate sugared desserts. So if you are diabetic, now's a good time to take your insulin. Amen? Get ready to go. We're going to close this time with a hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Brother Jeremiah, you come. You've already got it open. All right, brother, very good. Let's sing it out together. I'll invite you to stand.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Give the Lord a hand for the day. Thank you, Miss Karen, Jeremiah. Thank you, deacons. God bless you. Have a blessed afternoon. We'll see you next door for lunch. You are dismissed. Go in the love and the joy of Jesus. Amen.